Let's open tonight first to Genesis 26:1. Genesis 26:1. Praise God. The title of the teaching is How to Receive Supernatural, Extraordinary, Unusual. You want to take it, Margaret? All right. Praise the Lord. So Genesis 26:1, you're familiar with this. 26:1, and there was a famine in the land besides the famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, to Gerar. And Jehovah appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land which I shall tell you of. Reside in this land and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and to your seed I will give all these lands. And I will establish the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. I will make your seed to multiply as the stars of the heavens, and I will give to your seed all these lands, and in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, in his seed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice, so Abraham, his father, obeyed his voice and kept my charge, kept his word, his statutes, his law, and so Isaac lived in Gerar or Gerar, however you want to say it. So there was a famine in the land. God tells Isaac to stay within covenant boundaries. You remember Elimelech? He was Ruth's father-in-law. He decided to go. He and Naomi went out of covenant boundaries. Yeah. And he and the boys ended up dying. Mm-hmm. And then when Naomi goes back into covenant boundaries, she begins to succeed in life. He that hath an ear, you want to make sure you're in the right place. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Don't wander on off from God's will. So, what I want you to get here is God tells Isaac to stay within those boundaries. He was leading him, and then Isaac obeyed. Real simple here, but follow me through this. Then Isaac sowed in that land. This is verse 12. Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and Jehovah blessed him, and the man became great and went forward and grew until he became very great. You're really familiar with that scripture. It's quoted here twice every Sunday. So Isaac, the inheritor of the blessing, lives within his promised land. He sows and he receives 100-fold. That's rare and extraordinary. That's good. And it's during a famine, and that's why it's rare and extraordinary. During a famine, he's getting the very best harvest. Okay? Something great to point out. During the famine, gas was $4.29 then. In fact, he said he became great, he went forward and grew until he was very great. Now, he became great. There's a true translation there that people miss. And it says this, the man was great and he went going on and was great until that he was exceeding great. So he's just moving forward in all the greats. He just continues to move forward. Can you see progression? You see progression in his life. So what we would say, once again, real simple, but he is making progress. Yeah. He's making progress. Development was happening. So tonight I want to talk to you about growth. Growth is development, it's progress, and it's advancement. Just before I just take off in here, I want to say something to you, church, to help guide you in something. In these days, in the days when we see things that like what happened in Uvalde, in the things that we've just saw on the news the last few days of the darkness winning in areas they shouldn't, such and such, Brindy going to heaven, the things that even some of our members are having to fight through, it's very important that you live in victory. Amen. It's very important that you don't get down in the mully grubs, they'd probably say in Texas here. You don't get down into the sadness and the grief and stay in that. You have compassion. You understand what it's like to cry with people. You understand what it's like that people need mercy and comfort and things like that. But for them, you need to make progress. You need to make success. You need to be strong. Amen. Okay. In your prayer life, that prayer needs to be strong. That's why we sing songs like I Prophesy. You use the power you've been given. Amen. Now, so there's progression here. So growth is development, progress, and advancement. So this said that the man grew until he became very great. The Hebrew gives this feeling. His estate grew rapidly. Okay? His estate grew rapidly. But wait a minute. His estate grew rapidly, but it was famine. It's famine. That's true. So the land was in famine. But here's the key. Isaac wasn't. Isaac wasn't. So you're going to have to decide. Are you going to just dig into the world system and just be in the famine with them and all that's going on? Or are you going to be in the covenant?
Amen.
You're going to work in the kingdom. Because it's going to be a decision that you'll have to make. And because you're faced with it every day we're faced with it, you're going to have to make a decision to walk in the kingdom that you were birthed into and not just hang around in the world. What's going on in the world. So Isaac wasn't. And there's just a difference. Growth and development went on while the rest of the world was in famine. So Isaac was heir to a promise, was he? He was the holder of the promise. And if you notice, he got a command, much like Father Abraham did, over in Genesis 12. Abraham was told to leave his kin and go to another country. He obeyed God, and he ended up being our father of faith. Amen. Now his son is like his father. He's obeying. That's good right there. It's a good point right there. And so Isaac is told to stay in that land, so he's the heir to the promise. He stays in the land. That's what I call right alignment, right assignment. You know, when you find your people and you get in there with your people, you will begin to see your purpose. You will begin to see the calling on your life. You will begin to see what God is calling you to do. And when you align up with what God tells you to do, you're going to start having the same results that Isaac had. And I just hope you realize right now that you are the heir of the promise. You're the heir of the promise. Now go over with me to Romans 8:14. And we're going to look at this being heirs and sons and heirs of promise for a minute. Romans 8:14. Praise the Lord. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Okay? For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Say heirs.
Heirs.
Say heirs of God.
Heirs.
Say joint heirs with Christ. So you are a son or a daughter, and you are an heir. You are an heir. My daddy is Clifton Alexander, and I am his heir. And when he left to go to heaven, he left an inheritance to me and to my siblings. Okay. So Jesus actually did the dying and then resurrected, and now he's procured for us the inheritance, and we can have it right now. Right now. He's the mediator over it. He is the one that has done it all for us, and we have it now. So this, you're an heir. Now, this is the heart of sonship. We saw it right here in the scripture. The heart of sonship is this, that you're led by the Spirit. You are led by a fathering spirit.
Amen.
You're led by a fathering spirit. Amen. Got that? Did you see that in there? So he's not a spirit of slavery or of a life of fear. You're out of that. But he is the spirit of sonship. It's about intimacy and innocence, church. Okay? It's about intimacy and innocence with him. Abba, this is an intimate term. It means daddy. So how many of you called your father father? How many of you called your daddy daddy or dad? See? Yeah. It's intimate. That's my daddy. Amen. That's my daddy. So this is who God is to us. It's an intimate term that children use when they're in the presence of a loving father. Daddy. I love my daddy. And that is who we have. We have a loving daddy. Praise the Lord. So in daddy's presence, there is no fear, no bondage, no oppression, no anxiety. He takes care of everything. You ever notice kids when they're around their dad, they're not afraid. He's done it all. We all grew up saying, my dad can do anything. You know, that's how we felt about our daddies. Our daddy can just do anything. And we're not afraid when we're with daddy. Well, the Holy Spirit gives us that inner assurance that we are those children. Are you getting that right now? I'm not just telling you that for information. There's a revelation that Holy Spirit will drop down on the inside of you where you actually go, hey, God's my father. He's my daddy.
Amen.
He's Papa. Amen. It's not just head knowledge. It's not just mental assent. The Holy Spirit is here to help us understand that God truly is our Father. So, you know, we talk a lot about being on Father's plan and not just doing what we want to do and ask God to bless it. I mean, we spend a lot of time on that here at the church. We're just talking about, we just don't come up with a plan ourselves and then say, God, will you do it? We want to follow the plan of God. Am I right? That's who you are. I know you are. So to be led by the Spirit of God is to be subject to God's mission. And our perfect example of being subject to God's mission would be our elder brother, Jesus. He's the example. You with me so far? So then we need to know, how did Jesus view his mission? How did he view it? Well, he had only one mission, and it was the mission that was given to him by Father. And in John 5:19, you can see his mission, and I'll read it to you. John 5:19 says, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these things also the Son likewise. So Jesus, he said other places, he says, I only do what the Father does, and I only say what the Father says. That's all he did. He just heard from the Spirit of God, and he followed the plan. Yeah, well, that was Jesus. We can't do it. Oh, really? I have news for you. The Holy Spirit's living on the inside of you, and you can hear him if you'll tune in. You just have to make sure you tune into the station.
Yes.
Max on the radio. If you're going to hear Mac every day, you'll have to tune into, what's it called here? 103.9. There's where Mac is, see? But you have to tune in to hear him. I'm still at Spirit 105. But anyway, but you have to tune to get there. So you have to tune, listen to the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then you can do God's plan. Now, we know this. Everything we see in Christ, we are heirs to. Everything. So the goal of the Christian life, now I want you to get this. I want to make this very clear. The goal of the Christian life is to become like Jesus. But we don't become like Jesus by focusing our lives on Jesus. Okay, I'm going to say it again. The goal of our Christian life is to become like Jesus, but we don't become like Jesus by focusing our lives on Jesus. We become like Jesus by focusing our lives on what Jesus focused on. Come on.
That's good.
See what I'm saying? There's a difference. You don't focus your life on, oh, Jesus. You focus your life on, yes, Jesus. What were you focused on? God's mission. You see the difference in that? Well, I want to be like Jesus. Well, if you're going to be like Jesus, then you're going to be Spirit-led.
That's right.
If you're going to be like Jesus, you're going to be Spirit-led. You're going to be led to the town you're supposed to be in. You're going to go to the church you're supposed to be in. You're going to do the job at the church you're supposed to do. You're going to put that before you move to a town just for a job.
Yes, come on.
Yep. Well, we all believe that. Are you kidding me? You mean people moved here just to join this church? It's full of them. There's many people in this room that did that very thing. And then God gave them the best jobs they've ever had. Amen. If they believed. Amen. Okay. Now, you say, well, that seems extreme. I don't think so. I don't think job is first. I think God is first. And you can't really separate God and church. You can't, because we're one, it's a body. Okay, I'll leave that alone, but praise the Lord. Yeah, I hear people's thoughts. Well, you're a pastor, so you want everybody to come to church. If I wasn't a pastor, I'd want everybody to come to church.
Yeah.
You are the church. You must assemble so the blood can flow. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go on with it here. So I want to say it again. The goal of the Christian life is to become like Jesus, but we don't become like Jesus by focusing our life on Jesus. We become like Jesus by focusing our lives on what Jesus focused his life on. So Jesus focused his life on being a son and revealing Father. Come on. And his love, revealing Father and his love, so that the world of spiritual orphans could become sons and daughters.
Yeah.
So when you act like a son, when you act like who you really are, the orphans will take notice.
Yes.
And they can come into the kingdom.
Amen.
When you live in your inheritance, when you live in your promised land, when you live with an anointing, when you live with power, when you live with forgiveness, when you live in the spirit realm all the time in the kingdom, when you live with giving, all these things, when you live with thinking about other people, orphans will come in. It's your witness, church. Jesus wasn't sinless because he was God. It wasn't his divinity that made him the man he was. He was the man he was because of the Father he had. That's a pretty heavy statement, but it is the truth. He was the man he was. He was divine, but he left that. And so he became the man he was because he had the Father he had. Remember when he told them when he was little, I'm about my Father's business. I'm about my Father's business. Glory to God. Are y'all getting anything out of this? So the person each of us becomes will be determined by, just by who we focus on. Who we focus on. Who are we going to focus on? Father? It's not wrong to focus on Jesus, but I'm just telling you, you're going to focus on God. That's who you will become. Now, let's move into the air part of being a son. I want to look at how movement begins in the first verse here. 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For all who being led by the Spirit of God, it says, for all who being led by the Spirit of God, all who are subject to the Father's mission, in other words. If you're led by the Spirit of God, then you are someone who is subject to the Father's mission.
Amen.
You see that? Spirit is leading you. You're in the mission. Now, you are then the sons of God. Now, we want to make a distinction right here. Said those that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Did it?
Yes.
Okay. Now, So does that mean that those who are not led by the Spirit, but they're born again, are not the sons of God? Yes. Yes. Now let me show you. Don't freak out on me here. But the word sons is a special word right here. And this word is called weos. And it's another word for child. It's a word for a mature son. Excuse me, not a child. It's a word for a mature son. So it would be like, if Gabe was 25 and working with Art. It would be like that. He's a more mature son. He's not a little kid anymore. He's already not, but I mean, but you see what I'm saying. Now, another word for child is technon. Technon refers to an immature child who lives for what others can do for them.
Well.
Come on, girl. So who's going to move forward in the kingdom of God? The weos is. The more grown-up son, the mature son, the one who has learned some responsibility. Remember, we're talking about growth. We're talking about being led. So it's the son who has some responsibility here. And so it says, verse 15 says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." So what does sonship or spirit adoption feel like? What does it feel like? It feels like that you are at rest in Father's embrace. Dad's got me. Let's keep reading. Verse 15. "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ." Do you get that? So now listen to this. Don't run. "So be that we suffer with him that we may be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." So let's just talk about that right there, because we're looking at something that is saying that people, when they're obedient, you suffer. Okay? Now, this is what we know. God does not send tragedy. To make you suffer. He doesn't send any sickness. He doesn't send accidents. He doesn't send any kind of disease. He doesn't send any of that. That's not the kind of suffering. In fact, if you're going to suffer, you're resisting because Jesus has already paid for your healing. Okay? So your suffering would be the resisting part. You don't just put on your jammies and lay down and say, "Okay, well, I got this." You know, you get up and go to church, right? Amen. Okay. Or to work or wherever. Now, so no matter how difficult, well, let me say this. The suffer here is about putting up with the times we have to put up with while we're getting to where we're going. Okay? You get that? You know, like when you exercise and you hate that moment, but later you're glad when you have trimmed down. Everybody's like, "I don't want to talk about it." I know, me either, but we have to. But isn't that true? I mean, there's a result to it, but it's suffering while you do it. There's things you suffer through, just in a Christian life. There's another suffering also, and that would be with unlovely people. You have to suffer through some people sometimes. Wah, wah. Okay, going right on. Anyway, but in this situation, it's not the trials and the tribulations, but it's that you're living in a world, a dark world, and you're moving forward and making progress during the famine, but there's things that you have to put up with, things you have to understand, things that you have to work out on, and it doesn't feel good all the time. And sometimes you wish you were already the boss when daddy's still the boss. Can I say it like that? Okay. It's about putting up with the times as you're getting where you're going. It's about hanging in there with the right attitude. If you do it with the right attitude, you're actually growing. You're actually building some character. Once again, I'm not talking about that you're praising God for trouble. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about responsibility and just what life deals while you're having to grow. In just, you know, when you were in college, well, I probably can't even talk about that. So y'all just partied through that probably, but I just saw some of you grin when I said college. No, but I mean, you've had to work to get to where you're going. There's work involved. Remember how you suffered through homework. Some of you are going, I didn't. Well, but some of us did. So much that we didn't do it most of the time. But thank God those days are over. Now, but here's the thing. No matter how difficult it seems, sometimes having to wait will not compare with the glory that's on its way to you. Sometimes you just have to do what you have to do to get to where you're going, and it doesn't always feel good. Amen. But it's going to be about that attitude. The inheritance is for the sons and the daughters. So, let me say it like this. Nothing can compare with the glory of the inheritance that'll be ours if we're willing to wait for it to come in Father's good time. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying that we're all waiting on God for everything. I do not believe that. He's actually waiting on us. But there are places I'm not talking about you getting your healing and that kind of thing. I'm talking about your character growth. Amen. I'm talking about the responsibility of the anointing, in your life and what you're doing. You have to, walk through some things to get to have that position. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Just want to make that clear. So sometimes it's, you know, you're like, well, I wish Pastor would think I'm somebody. Well, I think God would let Pastor know. And I'll tell you what, if Pastor was too dumb to figure it out, God is in charge. And somehow, God's going to get it in there.
That's right.
I wasn't talking about this Pastor. Okay, so y'all see where I'm going with this. The inheritance is for the sons and the daughters. No sonship, no inheritance. Sons are led by the Spirit. It's on the path. It's on the path. If you're on the path being led, your prosperity is there. Your anointing is there. It's in the place called there. Well, I'm anointed and nobody recognizes me. Well, that's where you might want to back up and work on your growth. Because what you're doing is acting like an orphan. Orphans don't possess the maturity for all of this. They don't possess the maturity to handle the inheritance. And neither can they be trusted with the inheritance. So the suffering of obedience builds character. Sons and daughters recognize the value of being subject to Father's mission and waiting for their full inheritance. In the culture in the day of Apostle Paul, a son was under the care of an authority of tutors until they reached the age of 12 years old. And then right after that, for the next 18 years, they become an apprentice to their father. This is what they did in that culture. And so for 18 years until the age of 30, they would work for their father in that company, okay, in that business. And they'd learn from their father. They'd get everything they need to know about the trade, everything they need to know about the business. And unlike the hired workers who receive regular wages, they often receive no pay during their apprenticeship. Why? Because everything was provided by their father. They're still living with their father. That was the culture then. And so they're still being taken care of by the father, but they're learning how to run the mission, how to do the mission. Okay? And so, but they're taking this time that they're having to do it. And the hired guys are getting the money. But they're being supplied for. So, there was no pay during the apprenticeship because everything's provided. So he's still living in the father's house. He's under the father's authority. His pay was learning. This is how he was getting paid. He was learning the trade. So he's like in college. He's like in it's like being sent to college. I have to do this to learn the trade. So a doctor's child that decides they want to be a doctor will have to go through the same suffering the doctor went through and go to all that schooling. See what I'm saying? And, but they're going to have to be busy at learning instead of running the thing. You can't doctor until you finish learning. Thank God. Could be sketchy anyway, but so the hired hands were going to get the wages, but the son was going to get the whole business. See that? So you may not be getting as paid as much, but you know you're about to step into the place where you're going to own the thing. But you need to know what to do, just like your brother got the farm, right? Or something like that happened to your family, sort of, I think. Anyway. They complete their apprenticeship and they're ready to receive their inheritance. If at that time the son has proved himself and he's faithful and remained in patient submission as a son subject to the father's mission, his father would buy or build him a house, establish him in his own business where he would be set up for life. Now just take that spiritually right now. As you grow up and you begin to follow the Spirit of God, and you'll have a few knocks here and there trying to stay on the right path, trying to get into the right thing. But after a little while, you're going to smooth out. You're going to smooth out. In a little while, you're going to own it all. May take you a little while to get on your faith, how God wants it done. May take you a little while to get on your tithing. May take you a little while to get on how you're seeing things through, how you understand how to flow in the anointing, how you know all these things. May take you a little while to understand forgiving. All these things, but eventually they're going to come to you. Eventually the light's going to come on. Eventually you're going to learn. Church, everything happens from inside out. Everything. It is the victim that blames other people. Okay, I need to get on down the line. We've worked on that. Y'all have it, right? All right, so the inheritance was always yours. Since the day you were born again, it was yours. But when you started flowing like a son is when you started seeing it all come in. I felt like that just hit a wall with some people. Well, isn't that works? No, I'm not talking about works. You didn't earn all of this inheritance. It's yours. True. Right now, my grandson's inheritance is sitting in my bank under my name. That's right. And he's not getting it until Grand says, it's time. Because if I give it to him right now, what? Yeah, that's exactly right. I'll just say, so when he was little, so we were talking about inheritance and everything, and he says, man, if Grand gave me my money, I'd buy food and clothing. Now see, that he gets food and clothing.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to buy it. He's an apprentice. But he's not thinking that way. Give me my money, I'm going to go spend it. And then I'm going to end up eating in the hog pen. That's a story in there too. Okay, so remember Jesus said those who are faithful in little will be faithful in much. Meaning, the more you take responsibility for moving in Father's mission, the more responsibility you'll have. And you'll have more anointing. You'll have more funds. You'll have more everything as you move through the mission in your life. This is where it is. Oh, you know, Pastor, I just don't really want to hear all this. I just want God to get me out of trouble. And how many times has he? He does. He would. But you're not supposed to be a wilderness person. You're not supposed to live from miracle to miracle. You're supposed to live in kingdom. That's seed time and harvest. And so you're being obedient, walking through these things. You usually don't need a miracle. You can be the miracle for someone else. Amen. So it's really your choice, our choice, whether we want to stay immature orphans or whether we want to be teachable sons. And so immature orphans are slaves to circumstances and emotions. Their circumstances determine whether they're going to have a good or bad hair day. They're slaves to self, to personal needs at other people's expense. I'm going to say that one again. They're slaves to self, seeking personal needs at other people's expenses. They seek a place of comfort, ease, and least resistance, and whatever makes them feel valued and affirmed. And that's no way to live your life. Can somebody help me? Can somebody help me? Can somebody help me? Can somebody help me? No. That's not a son. It's not a son. And then, can somebody please say something good about me? You know, maybe if so-and-so fails, I'll look better in the eyes of everybody else. It's this kind of crazy thinking that people get into. They obey out of fear of loss or punishment. Instead of just obeying. Now, you know, we grew up kind of like that. Oh, we're in trouble. You're in trouble. Go to the principal's office, you're in trouble. You might have been going to get a blessing. Some of the kids nowadays, I just went to Addie's graduation from fifth grade. And they actually had stuff, you know, kind of like they went to the principal's office to eat popcorn with them and get a reward. But in our minds, we were raised like, you're in trouble. I brought you into this world. I'll, you know. people still kid about it. I'll say, can I speak to you for just a moment? And the people around that person will go, ooh. They're in trouble with Pastor. Oh, pink slip. You know, and I've never even said a word to them or been... They've never even gotten in trouble because that's not my job. I mean, I will straighten you out if you need to, but that doesn't mean you're in trouble. Getting corrected doesn't mean you're in trouble. That was free. Let me go on. Anyway. So these orphans, they value people for what people can do for them and not for relationship. It's all about I wonder if the pastor can get me into preaching with all those ICFM people. Well, pastor knows Kelly. Maybe she can work me a deal. Well, you know, how can I get a leg up here? You know, people think like that. We don't, but people do. How can I manage? How can I get people to do what I want them to do? That's orphan mentality. That's orphan. That's manipulation. We don't want to be that way, and we don't want our kids to be that way. Don't bring up your kid a manipulator. I know you won't. So they unconsciously use and manipulate people to meet their needs. Now, everybody's done it, and everybody knows someone who has done it. They demand their own way, or they're going to take their ball and go home, or take their marbles and go home, whatever you're playing, right? You're going to do it my way, or I won't be there. That's an orphan mentality. And I've told you before, 20 years ago, a couple showed up at the church, and Pastor Deb has been the praise and worship leader all this time, and he sent the lady up, which is a quick sign already. He sent the wife up. She said, "My husband wants you to know that we will be your praise and worship leader if you'll go ahead and sign us on today." And I said, "Well, I have a praise and worship leader, but thank you." I was nice. And she says, "Well, we just want you to know." It's the first time they ever darkened our doors. "We just want you to know that if you don't let us be your praise and worship leader, we probably won't come back after tonight." Are you laughing because of what's coming?
Oh. Thank God.
Yeah, thank God. So I was just kind of feeling kind of bold that night. So I just said, "Ma'am, you don't even know us. Why would you place yourself? You've been here. You walked through the door one time. Why would you position yourself like that? You don't even know us. We might sacrifice a chicken tomorrow." She said, "They didn't know us." What? Sir, I know you're visiting tonight. We don't do that. We're glad you can. Do what? Okay, there you go. Chicken Express. So, but it's just interesting that people think this way. That's an orphan mentality. That's just orphan mentality. It has nothing to do with being a son. They're just subject to their own mission. You know, one of the greatest things I learned from my pastor was he taught us relationships. He taught us to be close to him. He taught us that we would come in with him and be on the mission that he was on. And he did it without making us feel like he thought he was somebody. He just said, "This is what we're doing. Are you with me? Are you for me?" And there was just something about the way he taught us that made me understand submission to authority. That when I took my authority and I went in and hooked up with his authority and let him be in charge, and he had the responsibility, I could just fulfill the mission and just cruise through everything. I became a self-corrector. I was willing to self-correct. I didn't have to have counseling all the time. I was his assistant pastor for some years, but I didn't have to. I would go to him and say, "You know what? I think I've really messed up," and he was always so kind about it, and he would help us through it and everything. But it wasn't a hard thing to do. We really understood the Paul Timothy. Timothy had the biggest church around, like 100,000 people, Ephesus. But Paul calls Timothy and says, "Hey, I need you to come go with me." Timothy dropped the church and went with the apostle. He just went at the suggestion. That's true disciple right there. That's true leadership. And it's not being controlled. If you're like that with your leader, they won't control you. Pastor John used to go, now he called me Lady Rocks. That was my name. Lady Rocks. "I'm about to make a suggestion. This is not a command because I know if I say it, you'll just do it." But he would say, "I'll make a suggestion. Now what do you think about this?" And of course I did it. But usually he did try to send me to take a church in New Mexico and I refused that. But it's probably the only time I ever said no to the man. But anyway, I understood it. If we could get that, if we could be that way about Father, if we could be that way about leadership, if we could understand and honor people in leadership, I'll tell you something that sons of God do right now. Sons of God are able to learn from people who are less skilled than they are. They are. You can learn something from someone who doesn't know as much scripturally as you do. If you're humble enough. Well, I don't know. I know more than them. I can't believe Jesse's so close to pastor. I know a whole lot more than she does. That's an orphan. And besides that, you probably don't. They demand their own way. They're subject to their own mission. They are obtain-oriented. How does it benefit me? Their choices are influenced by what they can gain. How can I gain? How can I be popular? How can I reach? How can I be the preacher of the hour or the man of the hour who the next Elon Musk or whoever you, whatever it is that you're looking to be? You're going to be that way. You're going to become successful by following the mission. Because somewhere on the line, if you just do it your way, it's going to falter and you may end up with what you think is a lot of success, but you'll be miserable. Yeah. It's all about being with Father, doing the mission of Father, loving people, you being the answer. You're the answer. You're not the one who needs something. You're the one with the pitcher of water. You're the one with the donkey. You're the one. You don't have to continually be the one that, I need. See, we're not your supplier. God's your supplier. Sometimes God uses us. But it's God we look to. Are y'all good? Okay. Sons of God are different. They know who they are. They have a teachable spirit. They learn from those who are less skilled. They have a heart of submission. They can wait. They see more from a relationship than what it is, than what's in it for them. I've heard people say, well, if I do this, what's in it for me? That's interesting, isn't it? Well, what's in it for me if I do that? Well, if you follow God's plan, there's going to be a lot in it for you. Church, it's time for us to grow up. We're not technons. We can't be baby pampers all the time. We have to all grow up because we have a lot of pampers coming. Sometimes I feel like when I'm preaching things like this about growing up and stuff, having character, I feel like there's always someone in the church going, yeah, y'all need to grow up because I need y'all to help me. I need y'all to hurry up and prosper because I need some money. But you're the one wearing the blessing.
True.
See, it's not me prospering by myself. I'm wearing the blessing. Isaac was wearing the blessing. The blessing is the empowerment to prosper. The blessing did the work. But the blessing can't do the work if you're not a son. It's the sons. Isaac was the son of Abraham. He's the firstborn. Well, he was in this case. He's the firstborn. And he has the inheritance. You have the inheritance. You have the inheritance. It's yours. But see, the devil wants to block you with what about me, what about me, what about me? When all you have to do is get on the mission plan with God and you flow in that, and all of those things will get sucked up and answered and move away from you. There was a preacher once who said, one of the African guys, maybe Oedipo or someone like that, he said, yeah, I guess the devil's come against me, but I was too busy to pay any attention. Come on. I was too busy helping people. I was too busy moving forward. I got my eyes off myself. What are we going to do? How's it going to be? How about let the Lord lead you? He doesn't fail if you lead him. Well, so-and-so's been mean to me, and they're not helping me, and nobody's helping me, and I'm running all that on them. That's a victim. It's called entitlement. Y'all need to do something about my problem. My kid was messing up at school. That teacher needs to straighten up. Excuse me, you're the parent. You're the one teaching the kid. They don't have them long enough to teach them with all they need to know. Quit coming down on the teachers. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for them now. They have hard jobs. So if you feel like an orphan, it's real easy to start changing. All you have to do is start making a decision. Start making decisions. You know what? I'm a son of God. All I have to do is listen tonight. I just have to listen tonight. If I just listen tonight and hear what God is saying, telling me to do. I heard something tonight in my spirit before I came over here, and it was big. And I told the Lord, I said, I want a word on that. I want a word on that. So I'm listening to hear what he's going to say about that. And I'm going to hear it, and I'm not saying it until I hear it. And just if you're troubled right now, if you're just worn out, if it's the same stuff over and over, there's a way out. There's a way out. Number one, ask Holy Spirit, what was the last thing he told you to do and you didn't do it? And you'll immediately it'll come up in your thinking. That's one of the most important things you can do. Next thing is check your heart. And you'll know your heart by your mouth. Because if you have word on the inside of if you have word in your heart, God's word in your heart, then the promises will start coming out your mouth instead of, oh, we're in a lot of trouble in America. Well, I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know. But if you have this word in your heart, you're going to say, you know what? I'm in the kingdom of God. God will make a way for me. God will give me success. I already have success. He's already done it, and I'm just going to receive it. I don't see how I'm going to go 50 more feet here, but God knows how I'm going to do it. So I'm going to depend on him because I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God, and I do know this by the scripture that I can pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, right here in front of me on earth, as it is in heaven. Amen. And in heaven it's good. And so I'm going to have heaven on earth. Yeah, but you don't know the things I'm going through. I'm trying to help somebody right now, church. Just bear with me. You just don't know. You know, tonight's your night to go ahead and press on through. It's time for you to quit having your little fevered, worried brow. It's time. I'm not being mean. I'm just telling you that you have that because of something in your heart. Go free tonight. The anointing will set you free. Stop depending on your talent. Stop depending on what you do well and start depending on hearing the Holy Spirit. He'll take those talents. He'll use those talents. But if you put those in front of Holy Spirit, you've already lost the battle. Well, you know, I can make a lot of money because I'm a good preacher. Oh, really? Well, if you have that attitude, you're not even following the Holy Spirit. Well, you know, I do this well, and I'm very underpaid for what I do. Really? That seems like a problem to me. That seems like you have a spirit of entitlement to me. If God told you to work flipping hamburgers with your PhD double XYZ, and you flip the hamburgers because he said to, you would be the richest person on earth if he said to do it. And who knows that you might flip one hamburger and hand it out to Elon himself and he'd say, come get in the car. I want you to work over here. You know, whatever. Praise the Lord. Yeah. I know you're like, what do you talk about him for? You better be praying for him. God's using him. He is. He's using him. But just whatever it is, start growing up. Well, I need all y'all to help me understand and get rid of this devil that's bothering me. See, that's way over there in that survivor mentality. A thriver says, devil, get out in the name of Jesus. Amen. Because you have the authority to do that.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. You need people to help pray with you sometimes. Today, Deb and Danny prayed for me. I went in there and said, I just need for y'all to pray for me. I feel like a technon. They started laughing. They prayed for me. It's good to have people pray for you, but I'm not a technon.
That's right. That's right.
And you're not either.
No,
see, when you feel like it, you're not. Get unstuck. Because these are the years that God needs you in the mission field. You don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've lost. Honey, there are people who are sitting in here who have lost children. There are people in here who have lost loved ones. There are people in here who have lost millions. There are people in here that have lost parents. There are people in here that have lost their way. And everybody in here is making it. And if you'll get on the victory side, you won't be a victim. Can you pay your bills?
Yes.
Yes. Can you become debt free?
Yes.
Can you make at least six figures? Yes. Well, you know, not in the job I'm at. We don't do that. No, no, you don't make your living by where you work. That's your assignment.
Right.
You make your living by your giving.
Right.
Well, like we keep getting attacked over and over. Well, become a weos by tithing. Tithing is 10%. My sweet mama, when we were little, she thought tithing was $10. But that's probably what Dad probably made, $100 a week, because it was way back there, you know, when $100 a week was probably pretty good. But, you know, they just thought it was $10. Well, I tithe, I'll pay my $10. But the tithe is 10%. That's only one dime on a dollar. That's all God asked for. It's a matter of honor. And then he honors your finances. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but just wanted to say that. Father, we thank you for the word tonight. We thank you, Lord. We are not technons. We are weos. We are the sons of God that are being led by the Spirit of God. We know where to live. We know where to work. We know how to give. We know how to bless. We know how to stay on the trail, on the mission. We know you, and you have every answer. So, Father, we stop trying to figure it out, and we just listen, and we get the answers that you have for us in Jesus' name.